Joe?
Just want to emphasize something Eric said before, because I think it's really important when we're talking about clinical trials, and that the selection bias issue. I mean, we clearly select patients for clinical trials, and clearly the patients that we see in our practice don't necessarily reflect that. The most obvious example of that is that if you just look at the median age of patients who participate in adjuvant chemotherapy trials, it's generally in the range of 50 to 55, and the average patient that we're seeing is between the age of 60 and 65. But I think as we layer on all these additional therapies, biological therapies, particularly therapies that can last a year that create potential for additional medical problems, the way I've sort of come to grips with this in my practice is to basically explain to patients what the best available therapy that we currently have available is, what it can do for them, and what's their risk of recurrence despite that. And I refer to that as residual risk. And then I present that to the patient. I say, are you comfortable with that level of residual risk? And if you are, then standard therapy is fine for you. And if you're not, then that's the starting point where I introduce the concept of a clinical trial.
Erwin?
Just picking up from Matt's point about prognosis, and I think that's going to be the direction which we'll be changing adjuvant trials in the future. But I want to bring up one aspect that probably doesn't get a whole lot of attention. There's a lot of attention focused on the characteristics of the tumor, kind of genetics, makeup of the tumor, and almost nothing in oncology circles on the host. And I just would remind people that in the Women's Health Initiative, we just got the data back, haven't looked at it yet, but it's 500,000 SNPs, whole gene analysis, case control for breast cancer incidence. But of course, you'd be able to look at prognosis in that same model, and the NCI cohort consortium has individual cases, case control, whole genome analysis with the different platforms, 600,000 SNPs, and those results will be out this year. And I think the extension of that, I would be astounded if there's not some interaction with the host genomic makeup in addition to the tumor.
Mark, we are looking at host factors in the BCRG006 adjuvant trastuzumab cohort. Specifically, we're looking at activating Fc receptors, or the Fc gamma R3a gene, which has polymorphisms that in lymphomas have been associated with response to rituximab on the basis of ADCC activity. So we're going to be looking for that as a host factor, as a predictive marker for response to trastuzumab in breast cancer, potentially depending on what the data show.
Final comment from Brian?
Well, just to pick up on Mark's and Matthew's point about duration of therapy and the fact that it may take a long time to reach the 2 millimeters or whatever, could you envision a scenario where you treated with an antiangiogenic, for instance, for 3 months up front, and then you then chose a later period, say the recurrence in the ER negative of 2 years, and gave another 3 months of the antiangiogenic as like a second adjuvant prophylactic regimen rather than dosing continuously?
I suppose that could be considered, theoretically.